Hi, it's another mini shiur as we move towards the end of Masechet Ta'anit. We're on Daf Kuf Tet Omud Aleph 29a. I hope that after apologies, my travels have kept me away. I hope that we will resume the synchronous shiur on this coming Tuesday, the 15th of November. On Daf Kuf Tet Omud Aleph, the Gemara takes up the point of the Mishnah, which now moves to the topic of what happened on Tisha B'Av. The Mishnah had said, "B'Tisha B'Av, Nigzar al avotenu shlo yikansu la'aretz." The decree after the Chet HaMeraglim that the Jewish people would have to wander 40 years in the desert came on Tisha B'Av. So the Gemara asks, "Minalan, how do we know that?" And the Gemara provides, you have to have, if you have a calendar handy, it'll be easier to follow along, either a calendar or a chumash or both. I have one of those calendars, with the Zmanim that actually is a combination of the two, because it has all of the historical dates of things that happened, both the things that are explicit in the Torah, the dates that they occurred, or things that are learned out through Midrash to determine their calendrical date, and then of course the yahrzeit sites of anybody of note who ever died, although the calendar I have tends to skew towards Hasidic deaths. I guess those are the people that are always looking for a reason not to say Tachanun, and it's handy to have such a calendar. Anyway, the Gemara goes on, how do we know that the decree that the Jews would wander 40 years in the desert came on Tisha B'Av? So follow along. Dichtiv. It says in Parashat Pekudei, Vayihi b'chodesh harishon b'shana hashinit b'echad l'chodesh, meaning on Rosh Chodesh Nisan of the second year, meaning 11 and a half months after Yetziat Mitzrayim, Hukam HaMishkan, the tabernacle was erected. Omar Mar, Shana Rishona Asa Moshe de Mishkan. The first year Moshe spends, after the Chet Egel, Moshe spends constructing the Mishkan. Shnia, Hikim Moshe de Mishkan. And the Mishkan was erected at the beginning of the second year, at Rosh Chodesh Nisan of the second year. Veshalach Miraglim. And then he sent the spies. This is in Parshat Baalotcha. Vayhi b'shana hashinit, in the second year, b'chodesh hashini, in Iyar b'esrim l'chodesh, the 20th of Iyar in the second year, na'ala hanan me'al mishkan ha'edut, the cloud of glory was lifted from the mishkan. Uchtiv, and then the pasuk goes on to say, a few verses later in the same parak in Bamidbar, Chapter 10, V'yisu mehar Hashem derech shloshet yamim. Omar Rabbi Chama bar Chanina, oto hayom saru me'achorei Hashem. On that very day, 3 days after the cloud was lifted, they turned away from Hashem. V'chtiv v'hasafsuf asher b'kirbo hit'avu ta'ava. And that mixed multitude, that crowd of no-goodniks, they started whetting their appetites. V'yashuvu v'yivchu gam b'nei Yisrael. And they sit and they weep and they cry. And they asking Moshe, give us meat. We're hungry. And that's the story of the Kivrot HaTa'ava in Bamidbar, Perek Yud Aleph. And it says, Chtiv ad chodesh yamim, for a whole month, they ate that meat. The meat was in their teeth, good and plenty for a whole month. Dehavu lehu esrim v'tartein b'sivan. And that comes out to the 22nd of Sivan, if you're following along with the math. Uchtiv, V'tisoger Miriam shivat yamim. And then Miriam, this is all in Parshat Baalotcha. Then Miriam is afflicted with tzoraat, and she has to spend 7 days locked up, and they wait for her, so that's another 7 days. Tahavuluhu esrim v'tisha b'sivan. And that then takes us to the 29th of Sivan. Uchtiv shlach lecha anashim. And then comes the command to send the miraglim. V'tanya. The Bryce explains, "Be'esrim v'tisha b'sivan shlach Moshe miraglim." Right? There's a brisa which makes, in other words, the Gemara has just let us, counting on our fingers, the calculations to figure out when the Meraglim were sent. And that was on the 29th of Sivan. We have to get from the 29th of Sivan to Tisha B'Av, when they come back and the sin happens and the decree is made. But there's an explicit brisa which may have done the math for us before we got here that tells us that the spies were sent on the 29th of Sivan. Uchtiv v'yashuvu mitur haaretz miketz arba'im yom. They come back 40 days later. They leave on the 29th of Sivan. They come back 40 days later. Hane arba'in yom nechi chadhavu. But we're missing one day. It's one day short. Right? They would come back 40 days later from the 29th of Sivan, the whole of Tammuz, the whole of Tammuz, and another 10 days doesn't get us to Tisha B'Av, and it's 40 days from the 29th of Sivan is one day short of getting us to Tisha B'Av. So Amar Abaye Tammuz Dahahu Shata Miluye Maluya. It was a Malay. That year, Tammuz was a full month. It had 30 days and not 29 days. You know that according to our set calendar, certain months have one day of Rosh Chodesh, and other months have 2 days of Rosh Chodesh, and in unusual circumstances, it's flexible. But in the times of Kiddush Al Pi Re'iyah, when they declared the moon, that year there was an extra day. So that extra day doesn't work out according to our calendar, but according to the flexible calendar of Kiddush Al Pi Re'iyah, when there was, since Tammuz was Moleh, there was an extra day, and that's how you get to Tisha B'Av. Dichtiv, there's a pasuk in Eicha that says, Kara alai mo'ed lishpor bachurai. That God calls out a mo'ed, a set time, on which the bachurim, the young people will be destroyed, nishpar. The idea that Tisha B'Av has this cosmic mark on it. In other words, the way that we learn that pasuk in Eicha is that it's destiny. It had to be Tisha B'Av. So the moon itself coordinated with God in order to fix it so that the Meraglim would come back. The date would be Tisha B'Av, this date appointed for calamity. Uchtiv v'tisa kol ha'eda v'yitnu et kolam v'yivchu ha'am b'layla ha'hu. That's the continuation in Parshat Shlach, that the whole Eidah, the whole Jewish people raise up their voices and they cry out and everybody cries and weeps all night long that night that the decree comes down, that night that the report of the Meraglim comes back. Omar Rabba, Omar Rabbi Yochanan, Oto Laila, Leil Tisha B'Av Haya. And that night was the night of Tisha B'Av. Amar lehem HaKadosh Baruch Hu, atem b'chitem b'chiyah shel chinam. You're crying for nothing because you listened to those Meraglim and you shouldn't have trusted them, you shouldn't have relied on them, you shouldn't have believed them, you should have trusted in me. So since you cried without real cause, v'ani koveh lechem b'chiyah lidorot, I will set it as a night to cry for all generations. That's what creates this kind of template on Tisha B'Av. Although interestingly, the Gemara seems to indicate that Tisha B'Av was already destined for tragedy in that regard. The Gemara goes on to ask, to discuss the continuation of the Mishnah Charav Habayit Barishona. The first Beit HaMikdash was destroyed also on Tisha B'Av. How do we know that? Dichtiv v'chodesh ha-chamishi, the fifth month is Av, b'shiv'a l'chodesh, on the seventh of Av, Hahi shnat 19 shana lemelech Nebuchadnezzar, melech Bavel, ba Nevuzradan, Rav Tabachim, eved melech Bavel, Yerushalayim. Ve'yisrof et beit Hashem. It's a posuk in Malachim Bet that says on the 7th of Av, in the 19th year of the rule of Nebuchadnezzar, Nevuz Nebuzaradan, who was the Rav HaTabachim, who was the major general. He was in charge of the Rav HaTabachim. It almost sounds like, if you translate it properly, it could be like the name of one of the orcs from Lord of the Rings. But it's a title that means that he was the general in charge of, or the captain in charge of the army destroying Jerusalem. He arrives on the 7th and burned the house of God. So that sounds, that pasuk in Malachim makes it seem like really the temple was destroyed on the 7th. And there's a different pasuk in Yirmiyahu, very similar pasuk, that says, "Uvachodesh chamishi basor lachodesh, he shnat shasrei shana lamelech Nebuchadnezzar, melech Bavel, ba Nebuzaradan, rav hatabachim, amad lefnei melech Bavel, b'yushalayim v'chule." That the second pasuk says that it happened on the 10th of Av. So wait a second. We say that the temple was destroyed on the 9th of Av, but we have one pasuk that says it was the 7th, and another pasuk that said it was the 10th. So what's going on here? What are we doing? Just splitting the difference? So the Gemara explains, Vitanya ef shalom ar b'shiva shahari kfar ne'mar b'esor, v'ef shalom ar b'esor shahari kfar ne'mar b'shiva ha'ketza. So how do we resolve this? One says 7, one says 10. You can't have it both ways. Ha'ketza. So what do we do? B'shiva nichnasu nachrim lehechal. This is how to explain it. On the 7th, as described in Malachim Bet, the Bavlim entered the Heichal, entered the sanctuary of the Beit HaMikdash. Ve'achlu, ve'kilkulu bo, shvi'i u'shmini. And on the 7th and 8th, they had a party, and they ate, and they fressed, and they desecrated it. Rashi says, you know, they had all types of improper relations and fornications and avodah zarah and other things in the Beit HaMikdash. Utshi'i, after they have these 2 days of party, samuch l'chashecha, towards the end of the day, at the end of Tisha B'Av, hitzitu bo et ha'ur, they light the flames. V'haya dolek v'holech kol hayom kulo, and the fire burns all day long, shne'emar oy lanu kifana hayom. It's also a pasuk from Yirmiyahu. Oy ve'ezmir, that the day is turning. Ki yinat'u tzlalei ariv, the shadows are stretching out. V'hainu d'amar Rabbi Yochanan il male ha'iti boto dor. If I was there, Rabbi Yochanan says, if I was in charge, lo kavativ ela basiri, I would have made Tisha B'Av on the 10th of Av. We wouldn't mark the day on the 9th, but on the 10th, because on the 10th, mipnei sheru bo shel heichal bo nisraf. On the 10th of Av, that was like the main thing. You know, like most of the burning down took place on the 10th, even though the fire started on the 9th. And as a matter of fact, of course, you're all aware that our custom is that some of the minhagim of mourning extend into the 10th, extend at least until midday on the 10th, because that was the day that the bulk of the Beit HaMikdash was still destroyed. V'rabanan, so why did Chazal b'chol ofen establish it on the 9th of Av? Atchalta de puranuta adifa. It's preferable to mark the beginning of the disaster. In other words, you have to choose some date to commemorate the beginning of the disaster, because in the end you end up commemorating it, I guess, even more. We commemorate the 9th and the 10th, but if we were only to commemorate the 10th, we would forget or overlook that which happened on the 9th. Uvashnia. And how do we know, or why was it that the second Beit HaMikdash was also destroyed on Tisha B'Av? Minalan, Titania, Megalgal in Zchut Liyom Zakai, V'chova Liyom Chayav. Misery loves company. Bad things, good things happen at good times, on lucky days, and bad things happen on bad days. That's why we have this idea that during the days of Tisha B'Av, there's just kind of like a bad karma around the day. There's a bad feng shui or a bad omen to the day and to the season, and we don't do things. We don't put ourselves into situations that involve a little bit extra danger during the 9 days or you know, close to Tisha B'Av, because it's an ayin hara. It's a bad bit. And adrabah, on Purim, on days when we know that there's good luck, there's good mazal for the Jewish people historically, so that's auspicious to to undertake new endeavors at that time, if it can happen. So the Gemara Kana says, how do we know that Tisha B'Av, the second Beit HaMikdash also happened on Tisha B'Av? Well, what day is it going to happen? It's a day that's already a magnet for all bad things. Amru, Chachamim said, Kesheharev Beit HaMikdash Barishona, Oto Hayom Tisha B'Av Haya. So Chazal say explicitly, now there's no pasuk that proves it, we have to kind of figure it out through these kinds of calculations, but Chazal say that it happened on Tisha B'Av, and it wasn't just any Tisha B'Av, it was Motzei Shabbat Haya. That year Tisha B'Av came out on Motzei Shabbat, as it often does, according to our fixed calendar, either because Tisha B'Av comes out on Motzei Shabbat and Sunday, or because it actually comes out on Shabbat and we push it off. And David, hat tip to you, I'm thinking of your column and your frequent observations when Tisha B'Av comes out on Shabbat and what that means to you. Umotzei Shvi'it Haita, and it happened to be like this year, like Tufshin Pei Gimel, it was the year after Shnat HaShmita. In this case, Shmita had ended a good number of months, almost a full year before, but it was the first year of the 7-year cycle. Umishmarta shel Yehoyariv Haita. It was, you remember, we listed the different families that were assigned to the Mishmarot, the Kohanic families, and it was the Mishmar of Yehoyariv. V'halavim hayu omrim shira v'omdim al duchanam, and the Levites were standing on their platform, performing their service by singing the shirim. And what song were they singing? Uma shira hayu omrim, the pasuk in Tehillim tzadi dalid v'yoshev aleihem et onam uveratam yatzmitem. In other words, it's in the rabbinic imagination that can set precisely the moment that the Bavlim enter and desecrate and burn the Beit HaMikdash. We know exactly what was happening. We know who was there and what they were singing and what they were saying. And the shir that they were singing from Tehillim is a pasuk that says that Hashem brings on them all of their own sins, all of their avonot. Right? In other words, you get what you deserve. Right? There's schar va'onesh. You get punished for your sins. Right? And Hashem cuts them off from their own wickedness. In other words, you think you can do wickedness and not pay the price, but in fact, ultimately the punishment comes and you're deprived even of the pleasures of your own sins because of the punishments that come upon you. And before everything happened, Lo hispiku lomar yatzmitam Hashem Elokeinu. The pasuk goes on that Hashem Elokeinu cuts them off. Right? In other words, the pasuk ends uvratam yatzmitam, boop, Hashem Elokeinu. Right? And at that moment, ad shebau nachrim v'kavshum v'chein b'shnia. And then the goyim came in and cast them out and conquer them from inside the Beit HaMikdash. And the same exact thing happened in Bayit Sheni. Like by some odd coincidence, the planets aligning, they were saying the same pasuk. In other words, they're cut off from their own sin. The pasuk says God cuts them off from their own sin. So that the reference to God is cut off, is abbreviated when the Bavlim come in. In other words, maybe what it's saying is that, you know, even God is erased from the story, right? There, it's a pasuk that's trying to say God punishes you for your evilness, for your wicked deeds, right? But the knowledge that God is punishing you for your wicked deeds is itself a manner in which we are drawn close to God. If we're mindful that he is the rewarder of righteousness and the punisher of evil, it keeps him ever present in our minds, and it might motivate us to act properly and behave righteously. But even that is removed, and instead, it's the Bavlim that are coming in, and later the Romans that are the agents of this punishment. And then finally, the Mishnah says, Nilkada Beitar. Not finally, but as the Mishnah says, Nilkada Beitar, that the destruction, the capture of the city of Beitar happened on Tisha B'Av, and the Gemara just simply says that it's Gemara, it's a tradition, it's a received tradition. We have no source for it, we have no mathematics for it, we can't calculate it on the back of an envelope. There's even no Agadah that explains it, it's just that's the received tradition that Beitar was destroyed on Tisha B'Av. We'll pause here. Hopefully we will continue synchronously online on Tuesday, and then hopefully we will be finishing up very soon, if not this coming week, then the week after. We will finish up Masechet Ta'anit, and then stay tuned for announcements and station identification.